This podcast is a production of Unfiltered Studios. If you would like to know more about joining Unfiltered Studios, please visit our website at unfpod.com for more information.
This episode of the Fandalorian Podcast is brought to you by the Adler Real Estate Team. If you live in New York, anywhere between Manhattan and Montauk, and are looking to buy or sell, you need to call the Adler Real Estate Team. This real estate company is run by a husband and wife duo that, in addition to being real estate agents, are also a public school teacher and a police officer. It is a family-run business that gives you the attention and care you need when you're about to make one of the most important decisions of your life. And I know from experience. Also, if you mention that you are a fan of the Fandalorians, they will be able to get you up to $2,000 back at closing. It doesn't matter if you're buying or listing. So, if you are buying or selling anywhere from Manhattan to Montauk, call the Adler Real Estate Team at 631-384-6372. Or check out the website at adlerrealestateteam.com. Mention the Fandalorians and save today.
Welcome back, everybody. On today's episode, we drop a quick review of season 2 of Amazon's Invincible with Eddie, the man of 1,000 shows, stepping in for both Mr. G and Mr. Richardson today. All this and more in an Invincible after-school special of the Fandalorians. Teachers by day, nerds by night.
It's time for a Fandalorians After School Special.
That is the bell. Class is in session. Welcome back to the Fandalorians, Teachers by Day, Nerds by Night podcast. As a part of the Unfiltered Studio Podcasting Network, this number one public school teacher, pop culture, fandom podcast in the country is here to give you the latest news in the world of entertainment and lively discussion on all matters of pop culture and fandom. Since we get new listeners all of the time, allow me to introduce ourselves. My name is Mr. McDonald, who survived an earthquake and an eclipse this week. And subbing in for Mr. Richardson and Mr. G, the man of 1,000 shows, Eddie. So, Eddie, what have you been watching?
Let's see. Getting ready. Watched, binged 4 seasons of Discovery, waiting for the 5th season to start. Only 2 episodes into that, so I'm kind of waiting for a few more episodes to roll out.
Now, what other Star Trek shows do you watch?
Loved Strange New Worlds. Loved Picard. I watched everything. I watched them all.
Because I'm waiting to the very last minute to get Paramount Plus. It's the one last thing that I haven't subscribed to. Like, I just found out accidentally. I think my wife may have subscribed it. I somehow subscribed to MGM Plus.
Which is good.
Yeah, but I was just like, okay. Because I noticed it because it said, hey, you can stream the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie because you have MGM Plus. And I'm like, all right. So I watched the Ninja Turtle movie, which was awesome, by the way.
MGM Plus has the show From.
Oh,
have you heard of that?
I have not. I'll put it on the list.
It is awesome. Watch that. I think there's 2 seasons of that right now.
Okay.
And it's still another season supposed to be coming out. Very, very nice. Very good.
Well, I have tomorrow off for Eid. It's the end of Ramadan, and so my plan tomorrow is just to stream The Three Body Problem on Netflix. I watched episode 1 already. I thought it was interesting. And now I got to just binge the other 7.
I watched it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not saying nothing. I'm not saying a word.
Save it, because we'll talk about this again. All right. So let's talk about how you can support the show as listeners. Start by asking your kid's teacher or any teacher that you know if they need anything. Now, flu season is ending, and so we always say, you know, tissues. You're like, oh, you don't need tissues anymore. But guess what? Flu season is ending, but allergy season is starting. So those tissues are just as needed as they were all year. Any school teacher you know, trust me, they need tissues. Just send your kid to school with a box of tissues with a note that says, "The Fandalorians told me to give this to you," and they'll know what we meant. Next, check out the merch on TeePublic. I recently just purchased a sweatshirt of the Fandalorians. It's super comfortable. It's very cool. All my kids are like, "Oh, you have merch for your podcast?" It makes me feel more legitimate. The link to our storefront's on the bio. And as always, all of our proceeds go to Lainey's Legacy of Hope. And it's a nonprofit organization that engages in fundraising and other activities to provide assistance to families with someone suffering from pediatric cancer. Volunteer-run programs, no CEO, no board. So when you donate, 100% of the money goes to the families. 100% of our cut goes to Lainey's Legacy of Hope. Check them out on laineyslegacy.org. Finally, if you are like us and live on Long Island and you recently experienced an earthquake and an eclipse, check out Red Shirt Comics in downtown Port Jefferson Village for all of your comic book needs. And for those listeners who don't, remember to visit any and all of your local comic book shops. All right, Eddie, that takes us to our post-observation review of Invincible.
Please excuse the interruption. Please excuse the interruption. Please excuse the interruption. Can the Fandalorians please come down to the main office? The principal is ready to see you now. It's time for your post-observation review. The principal is ready to see you now. It's time for your post-observation review.
Invincible is an Amazon animated cartoon show, and it is about Mark Grayson, who is a seemingly normal teenager whose father, Nolan, is the most powerful superhero on the planet. Shortly after his 17th birthday, Mark begins to develop powers of his own and learns how to wield them with the help of his father, who turns out not to be the superhero he was ought to emulate, but instead is a member of the Viltrumite Empire, bent on intergalactic conquest. After an earth-shattering betrayal, Mark tries to get his life back on track as he tries to make new adversaries and allies, all while trying to suppress his greatest fear that he may become his father. The first episodes of the season, for this season two, I should say, premiered on November 3rd to November 24th, 2003. And then the final four episodes premiered from March 14th to April 4th, 2024. Whenever we are observed as teachers, we are asked some pretty common questions, and we like to treat our reviews like that. Let's start with very general questions, Eddie. In general, how successful was the lesson? In other words, what were your general thoughts of this series, season two, as a whole?
Again, just like season one, I loved it. It's over the top. It's, I guess, the best way to describe it is disturbing, but can't turn away.
Like an entertaining car crash.
Right. Like more maybe trains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yes. So let's just remind the viewers at home. Yes, this, while it may be a cartoon, this is not for children.
No.
Now, the last time we were together, Eddie, we were observing another Amazon show, Gen V, and this is very similar in the same vein. In fact, it's from the same producers. It's by Seth Rogen and, was it Evan Goldberg?
Evan,
yeah. But anyway, yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to agree with you. I very much enjoyed this. I remember Mr. Richardson lending me the first omnibus, which was the first 12 issues of Invincible. And so I read it, and of course, I devoured it. And then, you know, we argued that this was the best new superhero since probably Venom was introduced. And so, you know, we knew eventually it was going to be made into a movie or a series or something. But I didn't think, and then I actually went out and I bought the second and third omnibus. And so I got to the end of what would be the second season right now. I'm glad I stopped because I don't want to know what happens now. And I think I feel like I'm at a good spot in the show. So yeah, I thought this was super successful. It starts off as a superhero story that you think you know. Like, you remember watching the first episode of this series and you're like, all right, I kind of get it. And then Omni-Man destroys the Guardians of the Galaxy.
It goes off the rails.
And you're just like, wait, what? Because, you know, it's one of those shows that I was kind of watching on my phone, kind of half paying attention, like it were Netflix. And then all of a sudden I'm like, hold on a second.
Where Boys started, it started nuts.
Yeah. But I think they kind of like, they bid their time. They knew that if someone made it to the end of episode one, they're going to watch everything.
Right.
But anyway, so season two, yeah, I agree. It was just as good as season one. I really, really enjoyed it. To what extent was your instructional delivery effective in this lesson? What specifically did we like about this season?
For me, everybody, you know, a lot of shows, you got your antagonist, you got protagonist. This show, especially this season, everybody has a story. You're dealing with Rex. You're dealing with Alan. You're dealing with what, you know, of course, Mark's going through, what Eve is going through, you know, Adam, you know, Eve.
Donald. Cecil.
What's everybody. Debbie. Even Debbie has a story.
Yeah.
Everybody in this show has a story. And you're enthralled. You want to see why, what's happening, where are they going, what's... They really bring you into everybody's story, and you want to see where they're going, what's happening. And then, you know, you're finding out why they are where they are, everything.
So, yeah, this is going to sound like a broken record, but yet again, I also very much agree. It's the idea that when you have such a rich, source text like the Invincible series that also is already finished, that, you know, it allows the writers to really plot their seasons effectively. The biggest problem with comic books is they're eternally in Act Two. You know, Batman, you're never going to get the last Batman story. It's always, all right, he catches the Joker, he puts the Joker in prison. The Joker stays in Arkham for a little while, and then the Joker's out, and then it happens again and again and again and again and again. And so it gets kind of repetitive in that kind of way. But with Invincible, it takes a lot of the tropes, you know, much like The Boys and Gen V did, it takes a lot of the tropes that you know with your superheroes and turns them on their side. You know, you think Omni-Man is Superman, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's not quite Superman. And then, you know, Invincible, you know, he's a kid, he's a teenager, and he's struggling with typical teenager issues. And then he's also struggling with the fact that, oh, yeah, if I let loose, I'm going to turn in my father and I can murder every single person I've ever met in my entire life. And so, you know, that conflict really does drive the plot. And I think it's fascinating. It's so much fun. Let's talk about what you would do differently if you had to teach the lesson again to the same group of students. Now, I'm going to go first on this one because I'll tell you, my biggest problem with this is, unfortunately, it's the same problem that a lot of people had, was that giant break between episodes 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. They broke it up into two parts, not because they wanted to, it's because they had to. I mean, because it turns out animating a show like this, it's really time consuming. And so I really wish this was something I could have binged a little bit faster. It would have allowed me to kind of enjoy it better because, you know, at the end of episode 4, the mid-season finale was such a good part. And I feel like episode 5 was kind of like one of the weaker episodes of this season where it just kind of lost the momentum. And so it was one of those things that I like to think about. When do I go and watch the show? After episode 5, I didn't pick up the show until the series ended, and I watched all 3 episodes just at once. which I thought was amazing. And I would highly recommend that for anyone who hasn't watched it yet. So, Eddie, what about you?
I agree about that completely, because same thing. I went right through the first four episodes, loved it. And then I was like waiting again, and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And then finally we get to these four. And normally before I would get on, you know, the podcast with you guys, I would watch it again, which I didn't get a chance to do this time. And there is so much in these eight episodes, as I was saying before, with their stories, with everything, that I have to watch it again, because there's stuff that I got to get back to, stuff that by the time I finished the eighth episode, stuff was clicking for the first episode. Stuff was, you know,
I find that that's the greatest compliment you can give a show. Do you ever watch a season of a show and you get to the season finale and you're like, I immediately have to go back and rewatch this?
And that's exactly how I feel about this. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, look, and you talked about how so many characters had arcs, and I mean, this is going to sound like a nitpick, but it was almost too much story. And I feel like this is the problem that Kirkman had with The Walking Dead, where the universe was almost too big. Because what I found is anytime the story kind of wandered away from Mark, I kind of lost interest a little bit. So like the story with Donald and the story with William and Rick, I was just like, okay, whatever. I mean,
and Debbie, did we need to know about her counseling sessions?
Yeah, and do I need to know her flirting with another guy? And you're like, okay, right. I get it, you know. But what I did like about Debbie, though, is the moral quandary of raising a kid that's not your own, and how she still did the right thing, because ultimately she was like, this is my son's brother. And so you're going to do the right thing. Absolutely. Yep. Let's get now to the teacher's lounge. Let's get to the juicy parts. If you've ever ventured into the teacher's lounge, these are some of the conversations you may overhear. So let's talk about quotes to start. So what was their best senior quote? What was the best line or lines from the series? Oh, I hear the rustling of
the paper. You got
it. Print it out, or did you write it down?
I was writing things like, I gotta remember what, you know, different things. There was a couple of things that I guess it would be considered a quote when Mark paralyzed Eve in that first episode.
Yep.
And Omni-Man said something to him. He goes, no, she isn't dead. She's just paralyzed. And Omni-Man said, oh, that's what you were practicing with those protesters. I was trying to figure it out. So he's like literally snapping necks to work on this, you know? that kind of, you know, I was like, wow, sick.
What a great storytelling technique in episode one, where they start in an alternate universe.
And that did throw me off. I got to be honest. I'm like, whoa. What happened? What did I miss? And I swear to you, I stopped the episode to make sure I was on episode one.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, did I skip something? But those are the best kind of stories that make you play catch up.
Right. And I was questioning everything. Yep.
And they explained it by the end, because if you're going to make people play catch up, you have to. But yeah, I agree. My favorite quote was from an early episode as well. I forget which episode. It was either two or three. But the quote was, I can't marry a fish. I have a girlfriend. And it was where the Atlanteans, Atlantean law dictates that that Mark has to serve out his father's sentence. And so his father was supposed to marry this like fish woman, whatever. But I just cracked up when I heard that. And you're like, oh, that's really fun. And, you know, I mean, we talk about how kind of, you know, it's very similar to The Boys as well, that it is quite violent. And it is quite funny, though, because remember, this kid's still just a teenager and he's awkward and he's uncomfortable and, you know, those typical kind of situations.
Yeah, which lends to the part that we'll get into what drives me nuts, but go ahead.
That Google slide was on point. What was the most rewatchable moment?
For me?
Yeah.
Rex. When Rex when Rex loses his hand and he's punching Lizard Man in the face nonstop with his stub. That I was just like, oh my, you know, he just gets shot in the head, you know?
Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you, I thought every single Guardian of the Globe was dead at the end of that episode.
That was still on Earth. I thought everyone was dead. But and that with what's her name? Ray, the one that she got eaten and then she expanded one inside the guy.
Yeah. And you're they're all dead.
That whole fighting scene, everything that happened there, as good as the season was, like, that was epic. That was my favorite.
But that's what took so long for it to animate.
Yeah, and I get it. And I appreciate it because it was amazing. Like, what happened in that fighting scene between everybody with the Cates, just everybody. It was insane. I loved it.
My most rewatchable moment is going to be when he fought Angstrom Levy and he was hopping from universe to universe and he met quote unquote Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Batman.
Yeah. Well, because did you know that in the actual comics, he did go to the Marvel Universe and meet Spider-Man?
Okay.
You know, they have a whole thing where he meets the Avengers and he's trying to guess their names and he sees Iron Man. You're like, metal guy, you know, boot dude, you know, and it, you know, it's just stupid, goofy stuff. But I'm like, wow, because this is when Hickman was writing Avengers at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, when he was hopping from universe to universe and you're like, that is so cool. I mean, one thing that this show has told you is that the last episode of every season, there is going to be just a crazy, giant set piece, knockdown, drag down fight. And it's going to show more than you'd ever want to see.
Yes.
But yeah, it does. That takes us to, that kid said, what? Let's talk about the funniest moment. Now I have a feeling you're going to choose something Rex said.
I don't have any specific moment. I was trying to go through remembering stuff again. Didn't get to watch everything a second time. But that being said, Rex he's a funny guy. He's comic relief.
Yeah,
he's awesome. And you know, I don't want to jump ahead, but Rex is my guy. You know, he's my guy.
Yeah, you were like, if I were going to be a superhero, I would be Rex.
Yes, I'd be that guy. Invincible's great. Don't get me wrong, but Rex. So. Looks like he's having fun when he's doing it.
Absolutely. So my favorite part, it was from, I don't know if it was episode, I think it was episode 8. It was when Mark and Amber go to the comic book convention and they meet the writer of Seance Dog. Mm-hmm. And they talk about when will season 2 come out. And like, here, ready? I saved the video because I wanted to play it. Because it was everyone's complaint about what's taking Invincible so long.
It means a lot. I gotta ask, when's the new season of Seance Dog coming out?
Probably not for another year. Sorry, animation takes a long
I saw the video time. Where a lot of stuff happens like this.
It must be for those bite scenes. Yeah, those take a while, but we cut corners in other places to make it manageable. You ever notice that sometimes whoever's speaking has their mouth off camera, so you never...
Yeah, and so it goes on and it tells you all the tricks that they use. Like, oh my God, that's so great. Because they spend so much time on those fight scenes that they do. They have to cut corners elsewhere. And I've heard other people complain that they're like, oh, when it's just two people talking, no one else is moving. And you're like, yeah, do you know how hard it is to animate that?
Yeah, and it's not needed. I need the action to be action. Two people talking, you could get away. If you cut corners and move this along faster, I'm okay with it.
But I love the fact that they, you know, it's like
they made fun of their own issues.
Yeah, they address the horse in the room where you're just like, all right, I got it. I understand. But trust me, it's worth it.
Yep.
Now, teacher, class, what's the capital of New York? Student, Martin Luther King. Was there anything here that didn't make sense for you?
No, didn't make sense. don't know. At first, like I said, didn't make sense when I started the first episode until I caught on what was happening.
Well, yeah, the multiple realities and the multiversal aspect was confusing, but it was confusing on purpose. I get it.
Right. Yeah. I don't think there was anything, you know, that I could put together that said, you know, didn't make sense. Everything for me kind of worked. So what do you think?
Well, here's for me, the one thing that didn't quite make sense, and I'm going to ask you a question to reveal this. Who was the big bad of this season?
Well,
do you, like, you could easily say Angstrom Levy, right?
Yeah, but that wasn't till the end.
But he was only in episode one, and he's only in episode eight, essentially.
Leo, Lizard Man and his crew.
Yeah.
But that was one episode.
Yeah, but that's like Monster of the Week.
Yeah, Omni-Man was locked up. What are you going to say? Vulturemites?
And, you know, that's like the... And so, for me, that was the only, like, kind of confusing part, is they went pretty much seven episodes, and then all of a sudden, the eighth episode, Angstrom Levy's like, all right, we're going to fight.
Right. No, I do get that. There was no... There's always bad guys, but there was no, you know, main villain.
I mean, I do think it's like picking nits a little bit. Part of it is, could be they only had Sterling K. Brown for a little bit of time, and, you know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, that was the only thing that didn't quite make any sense with me, where I wish they would have shown like, you know how in that the first episode, they kept showing the alternate reality Angstrom Levy's. Mm-hmm. They should have stretched that, like, done like one every episode.
Yeah, because they should have kanged him.
Yeah, just to build it over time.
Like, but how you got the Kangs and you know, whether it was like the Loki season, yep, or yeah, whatever. You, like, because I guess you would say Levy, is he the original Kang, or is, you know?
Right. I mean, well, Kang's been around since the 60s.
Yeah, yeah. So it was the same concept, I feel.
Right. I mean... But it also, if they did that, if they teased him over time, then who knows? At the end of the season, I would complain, but like, just get to him. So I could just be unpleasable. You know, it's a funny quote that somebody told me. It goes, some people have a problem for every solution. And once I realized that, you're like, oh, you can't please everybody. So you're like, don't
exactly
even. Yeah. But anyway, all right. So I think both of us are going to have a hard time finding a solution, or at least an answer for this next one. Mr. G, can I go to the bathroom? What was the slowest part of the series? Because for me, it was the whole Donald subplot, where he found out that he's been a robot kind of like the entire time.
I did write down about Donald. You know, I could bounce back between Donald and Debbie a little bit.
Right.
I mean, again, I did not get up at all. But if I had to get up, you know, I would have probably found time bouncing between Donald and Debbie. But again, I go back to what I said in the beginning. They do make you care about each character.
Well, at least at the very least, they have you identify the motives behind every character.
Right.
Because even with the Donald subplot, where it finds out he is mostly robot,
and died God knows how many times.
Yeah. And what did they say? He died 38 times.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that he is the one who chose to have his mind wiped every time. And you're like, all right, I kind of get it. Yeah. You know, nobody should live with that.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, that was about it. Now, this is the one, I think, I know your answer already. Who was your star student this year?
I'll give you one guess. Go ahead.
Was it the person who was shot in the head and survived?
I love him. I love Rex. He's so awesome. He is. He's awesome. Like, even as he's recovering, he's joking in the hospital as they come to visit him. As you know, I mean, he's the superhero I would want to be. Having a good time, playful, joking, and doing it all.
Yeah, I mean, there's no pressure on him. You know, he's not an A-lister. He's just out there. You know, just like, all right, guys, I'm going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. I mean, for me, I mean, this is going to sound so easy when I say it, but I'm going to go with Mark Grayson. And it it didn't really click with me with Mark until that very last episode when he really is torn because, spoiler alert, he ends up killing Angstrom Levy. And he kills him because he has to. And then you hear his thoughts and how much he doesn't want to be like his father. And I thought Steven Yeun did an amazing job as a voice actor for him as well, because it's really hard to show emotion in animation because most people kind of like overdo it with like crying and angst. And, you know, you end up, we joke about the old X-Men 97 where Wolverine would be like, Gene! And you're like, all right, okay, tone it down a little bit. But I think all of the voice actors in this entire show were spectacular. Showing emotion in cartoon is really, really, really hard.
See, I agree, but I have another take on that.
Ooh, okay.
Wah! Wah! I got daddy issues. Get over it.
Well, also, your father did not nearly beat you to death.
How do you know?
But because you're still here.
You said nearly.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. You're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. That is true. So you're just telling Mark to just walk it off?
I can walk it off. Rub some dirt on it.
We've all got bad parents. Move on.
Come on. It happens. I'm like, oh, my God, I get it.
Yes, but for Mark, though, if he loses control like his father, the whole world will change.
Right. And he becomes like him in, I guess, all the alternate universes.
Well, that's what I thought was super interesting as well with this is – Angstrom Levy, what I thought was really interesting is how when his mom is talking to Angstrom Levy, saying that you're a good guy, you saved Mark. And he's like, because he, you know, of course, he thinks he's the hero. And then all of a sudden he starts to like think about what he did and why he did it. And it's, and it, like any good character, he's like, why would I save him? He's evil. You know, this is the one world where Mark, I think this is the one world where Mark right. is good. And it's the one world where Levy is the bad guy. And for a multiversal kind of hopper like that, that's that really did kind of mess with him a little bit. But yeah, I mean, having Mark as the only good Mark puts so much pressure on him as well as a character that, you know, everything in the entire universe and every multiverse is telling you to be bad, and I'm not going to be bad. And that's the Superman problem as well. Do I kill someone because I can kill someone? Do I kill the Joker to stop people, him from killing other people? Does that make me bad? I mean, there's all kinds of moral issues. And so, yeah, it's easy to go, wah, 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 wah. My dad is, you know, my dad was mean to me. But it was more than just my dad was mean to me.
I get it. I just... there's a lot going on. Get over it, buddy. Let's move on, you know?
No, you know why? Because we're looking at it as dads.
Yeah.
And instead of looking at it as kids, you forget what, like, 17-year-old Eddie would have said. Be like, yeah, my dad's such a jerk. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. I remember when I went to college to be a weatherman. And...
Cup, the meteorologist.
Exactly, yeah. And... every single one of my friends was like, you should be a teacher. I'm like, I'm not going to be a teacher. My dad's a teacher. That's so stupid. I will never be a teacher. And what happened? I became a teacher. Just cost me an extra 50 grand in student loans or whatever. But, you know, you do ultimately become your parents in some way, shape, or form. But you also saw that Mark's dad is becoming a lot like Mark too. Like, remember at the very end of the episode, he's like, I miss my wife.
Yeah. He starts, you know, thinking about his wife. He starts thinking about the lesser life forms.
And so it's just fascinating. Yeah, but anyway, all right.
It's a great show.
Yeah. So let's talk about Who ate my lunch? Is there any? I know this is a cartoon, but let's assuming we could get any memorabilia from this show. What proper memorabilia from this show would you like to have stolen from the set? For you, you're going to say Rex's hand.
I would just actually take all his gear and just hang out in it. I would hang out in his helmet, his everything. So
you legit want to be Rex?
I want to be Rex when I grow up.
Okay. Yeah, eventually we're all going to grow up, but not now.
My wife doesn't think that's going to happen, but go ahead.
Oh, she didn't say if. It's more of a when, but eventually.
No. She does not believe it will ever happen.
Oh, it's going to be an if. That's cool. Oh, shoot. Wow. If there is a prop, you know what I want? I want whatever Cecil uses to teleport. Because just to end a conversation by like teleporting out of the room. Just
not being there.
I believe that's
an Irish goodbye.
Oh, I'm well aware of the Irish goodbye. But I want, no, but I legit, like, I want to leave a party and then teleport to my bed. I don't want to drive home. I just want to. Go to my bed.
It would eliminate a lot of DUIs.
Absolutely. All right. So are we teaching this again next year? So obviously it has been picked up for season 3. What would you like to see for next season? Now, I this is past the comics that I've read. I don't really know anything else of it. But what do you want to see for next year? Based on what it's setting up.
I want to see, on a subplot note, I want to see Adam, Eve, and Mark get together.
Yeah.
To change that future.
But, you know, it's so interesting that adult Adam, Eve said to that. And is that going to be Mark saying, all right, let's do it? Or is he going to be like a contrarian and be like, don't tell me what to do. I'm a teenager.
But I did like
what adult Adam Eve said, where she's like, tell her you love her or tell her you don't love her, but tell her either way.
Well, it's because she was it that 30-year time difference, so whatever it was, that she's been waiting. Evidently, she's still waiting.
But ultimately, that is something to tell our own children. You're like, don't string people along. Exactly. Just tell them. And so that's just generalized good advice. But yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to end up together, just because the biggest problem between Amber and Mark is Mark was a superhero and Amber was not, and they're just living in different worlds.
Exactly. And he's always going to be worried about her. Somebody's always going to threaten her, you know, with what's her name? The Vetramite that came down and said, I'm going to kill her.
And, you know, so... I mean, obviously, this is all setting up toward a Viltrumite war, but then there's also small little subplots like the astronaut that came back from Mars.
He's a squid again.
Yeah, he still has that squid guy. And so you're like, oh, I don't know. What's that going to do? Is that.
Well, that's what blew me away. Like, that whole scene was to get him clear, get rid of these squids. And at the end of it, he ends up with one. Anyway, somehow one got in and.
And yeah, and so part of me says, could we have gotten rid of that whole arc altogether? But
no, but
it was still worth it because you have to get through the immortal getting over his distrust of Mark.
Right. Yep.
And so, you know, we didn't even
get into the immortal and what he was dealing with when the Kates were lost.
That's true. I mean, how does a guy who lives forever ever love anyone knowing that it's, you know, we talk about this with Thor in the Marvel movies, that he's going to outlive every single one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So essentially, all of these Marvel movies to Thor is like a summer camp. And you're like, remember that kid I used to do in summer camp that I was really close with? I wonder what happened to him. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you'll have, I guess, you'll have the now. Will this Kate be able to recate or replicate or whatever?
I would assume so, but is she just going to retire? I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
Well, I know who knows. Robert Kirkman knows.
Yeah, we don't know.
No, yeah,
we don't know. But there are so many avenues, like you said. I mean, is it going to basically? We're going to get into the crux of the villain of the Viltrumites. You know what I mean? Is that going to be the next season? Now you're going to deal with. that whole story?
Or is that, are they going to keep kind of pushing it down the line? I mean, how many Ultimate seasons do you think they're going to have here? I would say like 7 seasons would be a maximum. But then again, these seasons are only 8 episodes long. I don't know. Either way, I'm still going to watch. I'm very much enjoying.
I can't imagine they turn me off to where I'm like, that's it. I'm not watching.
Well, the only way to do that was to do the Grey's Anatomy style and run it for 20 seasons.
The one show I will not, actually not one show. I don't watch medical shows. So I'm going to put that out there right now. Well, I do not watch medical shows.
I never watched ER.
Myself as well.
But I watched, I want to say like the first 3 seasons of Grey's Anatomy. And then I was like, all right, this is getting stupid. Because how many times can you have just increasingly crazy medical things happen? You're like, no, never mind. All right, this is stupid.
That's it. I know everything we watch is for the most part not based in reality.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to feed me something that's supposed to take place in reality, you cannot have every week life-altering events happen. It drives me nuts.
So my wife finally gave up on Grey's Anatomy last year. And it was, what is it, season 18 or 19, and she's like, I can't take it anymore. Because at the end, she was kind of like hate watching. She's like, just end it. I just want to make sure I get closure. And then they just never ended it, and they never ended it, but whatever. All right. So speaking of which, this brings us to, can you believe she asked a question at the end of the meeting? I feel like we already did this. Is there anything else you'd want to talk about this show? Because I have one thing.
I'm listening.
Would this show do better if it were on Netflix?
Now, do you say that because it's released all at once? Or do you say...
I don't know. I feel like really high quality shows, they get kind of lost in the sauce, so to speak, where it needs, like, if this were an HBO Max or Netflix or even Disney Plus, it would just have a broader audience. I don't know. Is it so niche?
Well, I think it's the niche part of it, but at the same time, I have a hard time. I watch, as you know, everything. So my problem is juggling and remembering what's like. My wife hates that I will spend 20 minutes going through every streaming service to see what show I was supposed to watch tonight. So I'm like, okay, oh, Halo, oh, I gotta watch Halo.
I know, you have to start making a list.
Yeah. I literally go through, so I'll go through Paramount, then I go through Peacock, then I go through Hulu, then I go through Disney, then I go through Apple, then I go through Netflix, then I go through Amazon, and I'm like, okay, what didn't I watch? What did I miss? Where did I lose something? Because I don't want to lose it. So,
yeah.
You know,
you need a notepad.
Yeah. So, like, literally this, like, over the past couple of weeks, I finished, like, Resident Alien. Great show, by the way. Love it.
That is a good show.
Love it.
That was a sci-fi show, right?
Sci-fi show. The first 2 seasons are now on Netflix, but I finished the 3rd season on sci-fi. It just wrapped up. But that being said, so it was like finish that. It was finish Hulu. It was, as I said, I was going through the discoveries quick enough so I knew that was starting, you know. And then I was like, new shows that come on, I watch week to week. I'm all over the place. I hate week to week.
I don't know how many people are as dedicated as you are.
I just don't care about anything else.
You're like, oh, I was supposed to pick my kids up. Shoot.
No, like, it's funny. Like, earlier today, my son's at a baseball game. My daughter's at her cello. And I'm literally sitting in the truck waiting for them to come to the truck. And I'm watching on my phone, just waiting. So I'm catching up on things. I find time. I mean, I work like crazy, but sleep is overrated. I don't believe, you know, so I'd rather watch TV until I pass
sleep
out.
When you're dead.
That's it. And it will eventually happen. So I'm hoping much later than sooner.
Yeah.
But I'd rather watch everything. And I do for the most part.
Well, I mean, fortunately, one of the greatest attributes I have as a teacher is summer's off. And that's when I catch up with all of the things that I wanted to watch. And so, I mean, I'll take a day like tomorrow and catch up and I'll binge like an entire series. But like last summer, I'd never watched Stranger Things before. I watched all four seasons. And, you know, I have the ability to do that, which is kind of nice.
Do you want to know how bad it got for me? It got how so bad that I had nothing left to watch. Nothing.
So you finished like Netflix?
Right. It literally, it came up. You have reached the end of Netflix. So,
yeah.
But so like literally my wife's been yelling. I've watched every Korean zombie thing. I'm watching Parasite's Grey actually, which is pretty good on Netflix.
Oh, I just finished I heard good things.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I just finished that. But that being said, I'm like, babe, I'm going to break down. And I didn't want it to do it because I know it'll be coming out for free any day on some streaming service that I'm paying for.
Right.
I got Madam Web.
Oh,
see, and I'm like, I did not want to pay for it.
We're going to wait till it's on Disney Plus and we're going to hate watch it.
Right. And I watched it and my wife goes, you know, it wasn't that bad. And I just looked at it and I said, how are we together? I was like, it was horrible. But I literally had nothing left to watch. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Well, did you see Morbius?
I actually liked Morbius.
Okay.
And I know the rating, you know, what everybody said about it, you know, and this and that. My wife and I actually enjoyed Morbius. It wasn't like over the top, like, oh my God, that was amazing.
No, but I also find like my example of that is I remember watching the movie Battleship and everybody had like poo-pooed it so hard. And you're just like, all right, let me see what it's about. And I guess my expectations were so low that I was like, I kind of liked it.
By the way, my wife loves that movie.
See, it was not a bad movie.
It wasn't a bad movie. It wasn't. It was not bad.
But, so that's our hot take, is Battleship is a watchable movie.
It's a watchable movie. It's not as bad as they say it is. Web, horrible.
Horrible. That's so interesting. All right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. But that's
scorching hot take from Eddie, the man of 1,000 shows.
Yeah, yeah. That's how bad it was, though. There was nothing left to watch, and I broke down and got it.
Wow. Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about bad grades, so let's try to lock in our final grades here. All right, so Eddie, for Invincible Season 2, on a scale of F to if this is a Madam Web level of just hot garbage to A, or if you're Mr. Richardson, A+.
I was going to say, I will not say A+.
Yeah, this is the greatest thing that has ever been invented in the history of the universe. Where are you going to put Invincible?
I'm going to give it an A again, because it keeps you in it. You're enthralled. You want to know where you're going. You love what's happened. What they've given you is, again, I go back to what I said in the beginning, disturbing, but you can't look away.
Yeah. No, well, disturbing and entertaining.
And yes. Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. You know, there's disturbing where I can't look away because this is the most horrific thing I've ever seen.
Right.
But it is, there's something about giving you something about real superheroes and the, you know, what they would really do with their powers that you're just like, this is so amazing. This is entertaining. I agree. So I'm going to go A- because I'm going to knock them down for just the momentum killing break in the middle of the piece. I mean, oh, I can hear the buses getting ready. The kids are getting ready to leave. So it is time for us to say goodbye. Now, on behalf of Eddie, the man of 1,000 shows, I am Mr. McDonald without Mr. Richardson or Mr. G. Maybe they got, you know, raptured by the eclipse or the earthquake or any of the various natural disasters that have been occurring. But hopefully they'll be back next week if we can find them under the rubble. But we will see you guys next time.